This morning's Hebrew reading comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 85, verses 8 through 12, if you'd like to follow along. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for God will speak peace to God's people, to God's faithful, to those who turn to the Lord in their hearts. Surely God's salvation is at hand for those who are in awe of the Lord, that God's glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase.
This morning's gospel text comes from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Which you can find on page 903 of your pew Bible if you would like to follow along. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has just arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And the neighbor answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are abed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he asks. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are filled with trouble and misery, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love that this passage compares God to an irritated neighbor. God, of course, comes out favorably in that comparison, as we would hope, but it makes me smile because so many of us have that friend or relative, or maybe we have been that friend or relative, who comes begging a favor at the most inopportune time, but who through sheer persistence wears the other person down. So if even we humans, with our disgruntlement and our suppressed eye rolls, can be bothered to respond to someone in need, Jesus implies, then surely God will answer us when we come calling. It makes me wonder, how many of us in our prayer lives have felt like the friend asking for an inconvenient favor from a God who would rather not be disturbed? I discovered in our Lenten study and learning to pray that many of you grew up like I did. Somewhere along the way, I'm not sure where, I absorbed the idea that prayer was something you did mainly on behalf of other people. No one ever said it aloud, but I got the impression that asking God to help others was good and holy, but asking for something I wanted or needed was, you know, if sometimes necessary, still a bit selfish. I don't know if any of you have felt that way along the way. Of course, most of us will go to God to ask for help if we really need it. If we're waiting on a diagnosis, or we have a scare driving on the highway, or we get in some sort of fix, surprising how fast, "Please let there be a spot free," rolls off my tongue in the Trader Joe's parking lot at 5 p.m. with both my kids strapped in the car. But often when, even when we do that and we feel it's justified, there's a lingering sense of reluctance or guilt for having bothered the creator of the universe with something so surely beneath the divine attention as our own daily needs. And if it's a matter of something really minor, well, forget it. I mean, there are plenty of other people in the world who have it way worse than we do. God's got a lot more to worry about than whether we get over our cold, or whether we close the deal, or whether our kid will finally, for the love of all that is holy, go to sleep. But when we think about prayer this way, we're missing the point. This passage reminds us that it actually has nothing to do with the content of what we're asking or on whose behalf, and everything to do with the act of asking. Asking God for what we need and doing it repeatedly, as Jesus mentioned several times in this passage. Asking, seeking, knocking, asking, seeking, knocking. That creates intimacy with God. So if we feel comfortable asking God to help a family member or a church friend, but not to help us in our times of trial, whether big or small, we've set up a sort of spiritual bottleneck, preventing ourselves from reaching out to God and preventing God from reaching us in the struggles and stresses we keep deep inside. Ultimately, we're denying God access to our hearts. Have you ever had the experience of not realizing how deeply a problem was affecting you until you talked about it out loud with a friend? Anybody been there? Yeah. Once a month, I go to Spiritual Direction, which is a sort of a therapy for pastors, if you will, and it's just around the corner at the convent up the hill. So walking from my house or my office up the hill to the house where I meet with my spiritual director, I often find myself wondering, what am I going to talk with Kathleen about today? I'm not sure that I really got anything that's worth her attention and time and expertise. Yet each month, I somehow find an hour's worth of stresses and questions and doubts and discoveries to mull over with her. And it's funny because I always feel fine on my walk there, but in retrospect, it seems like it was a slog through leaden molasses compared to the way that I feel as I walk back to my home. And I don't think it's just that the walk back is downhill. I feel so much lighter. I feel buoyed up with joy and filled with gratitude for all the myriad ways that God is working in me and through me. Doesn't mean everything's fixed, that we've solved all the problems. But I feel so completely different, and all because I was able to say it aloud to a friend, knowing that God was listening to our conversation. Prayer on our own behalf, naming what we need to God, has the very same effect. It relieves us of burdens we didn't even realize that were weighing us down, and it lets God in to help carry or even eliminate the load. You might not have noticed this before, but in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus gave the disciples when they asked him for a tutorial in how to pray, we had the short version in Scripture this morning. There's a longer one in Matthew. But the Lord's Prayer, in it, over half of the things that we use it to pray for are asks that our own needs be met. Food, forgiveness, that we be kept safe from affliction, because that's the literal translation of temptation. I don't know if you knew that. It sounds like we're asking God to keep us from hitting up the cookie jar an extra time or two. But really, we're asking God to preserve us from trials that are too hard to endure. And that we be rescued from all evil, as we talked about with our young people this morning, covers pretty much everything except for water, as Maya pointed out, our physical and our spiritual needs, right? I think that ratio that over half of what we're asking for is for ourselves is no accident. Jesus knows that we need a lot of help in so many ways. And Jesus knows that the more we can acknowledge the help that we need, the places where we need God to respond to us, then the more we can swap out that idea that stoically avoiding praying for ourselves is selfish, and the idea that it is brave and powerfully vulnerable to let God into the heart of all we face can start to take root instead. So what if we tried to not make it any harder than necessary on this God who loves us so deeply? What if we tried actually doing as Jesus suggests, asking and seeking and knocking, and acting as if God will meet us at every turn? Because that's what Jesus promises at the end of this scripture. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We may not get every prayer answered the way that we'd like. We may not always find the parking spot at Trader Joe's or get the results back that we'd like from the doctor. But we will always, always find a response, find the help that we need in a God who encourages us and gives us peace in all circumstances. So what if we tried praying for others, yes, for the world, yes, but also for ourselves as a way of drawing closer to the God who wants nothing more than to help us through it all. Amen.